The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 431, recorded on July 18th, 2016. Welcome to the 431st edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and the 264th episode of Video Roundtable. I am Jonah Falcon.
I am TJ Denzer.
And I am Scott Durr.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry. This week we really don't have that great of news, but that's fine. Right now I'm just... there's just so much Pokemon Go news, most of it bad.
Yeah, you know? A lot of it bad.
Like, for one thing, people at Holocaust Remembrance Centers don't appreciate people going there because the stupid thing takes all these landmarks and whatever and turns them into gyms. So police stations aren't exactly happy about it either.
Yeah, there's people getting shot, apparently, for trespassing. There's, of course, I think you already mentioned people being lured and robbed. There's
that was last
people
week
getting
I
hit by
that.
Cars. There's people driving. I don't know if they've caused accidents just yet.
It's inevitable.
Yeah, it is.
It's inevitable. Like those bars in Asia in which people die from starvation because they play 88 hours in a row.
It really feels like common sense has died with a lot of people. Oh, yeah. And some people have walked off cliffs. I just don't know what's wrong.
There's a Pokemon down there. Go get him. The thing is that... this fucking game sucks. Yeah, it's augmented reality, but it sucks. It's not that impressive. It's not that intriguing. You know, and to even do battles in gyms, it's a fucking pain in the ass. I don't know why anybody finds this fascinating, except for the fact it's free to play. And you see Pokemon on your bed.
I mean, I see good reasons for it. It's a community-driven game.
But even community-driven games should have some sort of gameplay. The problem is that, you know, they're not even contextual. Like, if I saw a Gyarados in the middle of the street, or what? Not a Gyarados, but the thing that precedes it, the stupid fish. Oh, I forgot the name of it. I don't believe it.
Yeah.
The one that only splashes.
I don't know.
Magikarp.
Magikarp, yeah, you know. And the thing, well, you see, I played Pokemon once or twice, so I always get the Magikarp and have it in a battle flopping around before swapping it out so, you know, it can level it up and eventually become a Gyarados. But it would be nice if, say, if you're in a wooded area, the wooded Pokemon would go. Or if you're in a harbor, you'd see the fish Pokemon and stuff like that. No, there's no rhyme or reason, you know.
Yeah, I was wondering about that one before this came out, if it was going to try to figure out, okay, this is a forest, let's go forest thing, but no, it is. It's completely random. They put Pokemon in the middle of a lake, and you have to get like on a. I think somebody
a
used a drone to get it. It was funny, but it's ridiculous.
You know, and there's no thought behind it. But on the other hand, Nintendo's realizing that this mobile thing actually might work for them.
Yeah,
as a matter of fact,
gotten them a lot of money.
I'm willing to bet you they're going to make more money off this than they are going to off the NX.
Yeah, that's brave. I don't know about that.
Just a few more mobile games. You know, they won't need the NX. They'll just say Android and iOS. Boom.
That's the day Nintendo will have completed die for me if they do that.
No, they're going to have the hardware. I'm just going to say they're going to make more money off mobile than they are off the NX.
Probably.
Much more. Because everybody wants a cell phone. You know, everybody wants a cell phone. They don't all need a console. And they can't take their console with them for the most part.
Yeah.
So, we got the Pokemon Go... portion of the game of the thing out of the way. So, what have you been playing, TJ?
Still on the Warriors. Still working my way through that game. Still having fun. It's a blast.
Reminds me, I'm still on Red Dead Redemption. Actually, for me, I'm at the part in which he's completed all the stuff for the government. Now he's out of the farm, and I'm avoiding doing the farm stuff because we all know where that heads. So I'm trying to get my I just want to see if I can get my my fame all the way to the maximum. I mean, I'm already maximum hero. Now I want to have maximum fame. So at least when they go and kill me. Spoiler, for a 4-year-old game, they shoot you at the barn door and you have one last dead eye to kill as many federal agents as you can before they gun you to death. At least I want them to have shot down the most famous person in the United States.
I also got back to Rainbow Six Siege.
Okay.
I had stopped playing it for a while.
Were there any updates between between the time you stopped and the time you started again?
They have released a couple new maps and a couple new operatives.
Who cares about that? What about gameplay tweaks? Have they fixed it?
I mean, it plays well.
Okay.
I was playing a bunch of it. I probably played until about 5 in the morning last night.
I will say this about them, and that is they have a very strong connection to the community, because when I go to the patch notes, they post it in the forums, and they talk to the people in the forums about what they like and why they're doing everything.
Yeah, and I mean, the reason why I stopped playing that game is that I didn't have any other friends that were playing it, and it really is the kind of game that...
From what I thought, you said you didn't have any other friends, period.
Oh, no, I
have... That would have been so sad. I can't play Siege because I have no friends.
No, I just didn't have any friends that I knew were playing it at the time. But it turns out my friends were playing it on PC.
Oh. Are you what you were playing it on what, PS4?
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. I mean, you know, the serious shooters are all on... you know what game I want to play? And that's Inside, because I keep on hearing great things about it.
I have heard good things, too. I've heard it's a perfect... it is representative of the 7 years that have gone on since Limbo.
Yeah, someone said it's super Limbo. And the thing is, also, it's only 3 hours long, from what I understand, without going into the secret areas. So maybe that's its only... But on the other hand, maybe it's not overstaying its welcome.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, once you're out of good ideas, why prolong the process?
Yeah. And, you know, the videos I've seen of it sort of remind me of We Happy Few in a few ways. Although, I will say this, you know, I was listening to a podcast and it talked about how the ending, and I haven't played the game, so I don't know anything about the ending, but the ending really justifies everything that's gone before, so that sort of intrigued me.
That's what I heard, too.
It keeps on twisting in all these different ways. So, mm-hmm. What else have you been playing aside from Siege and the Warriors to come out and play
Guilty Gear. They're bringing a couple of the new characters back, and it was hot during Evo right now.
Yeah, they made several announcements that I saw, which I didn't really have time to read during Evo.
They're bringing a character back that people have been asking for a while. It's Dizzy, who is canonically a 10-year-old battle wife.
What?
So in the world of Guilty Gear, gears are biological weapons that look like humans but age much slower than, or their bodies age much faster, and they can do all sorts of crazy crap. Dizzy is the wife of one of the main characters, Kai, and canonically she's 10 years old, but she looks like she's like 20-something.
Yeah, there's nothing Japanese about that.
Oh yeah, Japanese games are hilarious. But okay. She's coming back. She's going to make everybody go crazy again, filling the screen with screen clearing super moves.
Okay. You know, when people talk about Strider and all that stuff, I just go blank. It's like, okay. The last game I played that was in that mode of Strider was Rolling Thunder, and that was in the arcades.
Mm.
Does anybody remember Rolling Thunder?
I don't.
That. Oh, okay. You know what? You probably know it, but just don't know the name. Just look at a YouTube of Rolling Thunder Arcade, and you'll see what I mean. It's like a prototype for all the for the Bionic Commando shit that happens later, except there's no robot arm. So, how about you, Scott? What have you been playing?
I've been playing The Legend of Heroes, and I had to restart it because, again, my save file had been lost, so I've gotten... Oh. Farther since the last time we talked about it, and I've really enjoyed the replay of it because I've gotten some of the side quests and hidden stuff that I had missed the first time around.
Now, you know that today they announced the Minecraft Story Mode Episode 7.
Mmm, excellent.
Have you seen the trailer?
No, I have not.
Okay, well, it's been announced today, and they have a trailer.
Okay.
So, did you finish Episode 6?
Yes, I did. I did the murder mystery. That was fun.
Okay, so you're all primed for Episode 7.
Yes, I am. And let's see what happens next.
Yeah. The Telltale said that episodes 6, 7, and 8 could cost $15. Did you already do that?
Yep.
Okay. So, I didn't check to see the release date. All I know is they showed the trailer for today. Although, you know, they've been awfully quick with them. I wouldn't be surprised if you checked to see that it's coming out next week or something like that, or incredibly fast, or maybe even tomorrow. So, yeah, I guess you should check to see when Episode 7, what's it called, the trailer, and when it's coming out.
Yeah, I'm always checking my file uploads to see when it updates that, and then I'll know that I'll have it. That is a nice thing of having Steam, a Steam browser. It updates stuff automatically for you. Yeah. And I got the patch, or I got the DLC, or I got the expansion, or whatever.
So the name of the Episode 7 is Access Denied.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to see when it's coming out, if they have actually listed it. Next week, on July 26th.
Oh, okay, because that's about when the Fallout 4 DLC is coming out, the bulked thing. I think it's 28, but something like that. Pretty close.
I've not played a single Telltale episode. Maybe I will when they have it. One huge bundle, 1 through 8, or something like that. I actually skipped the last few Telltale Adventure games.
Are you going to pick it back up when Batman comes out?
Well, I'm going to get Batman, that's for sure. I don't know if I'm going to play another Walking Dead game. I didn't get Walking Dead Michonne. I had no interest in that, because after season 2, it's like, I'm done.
The Telltale games are an interesting way of doing an adventure game. They feel a little bit on the easy side.
They're more interactive novels now, yeah.
Yeah, but they're still fun. I enjoyed the Back to the Future one, and I'm enjoying the Minecraft
one. But that had actual puzzles in it that you had to figure out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I still really, really liked the Telltale's Jurassic Park, even though it was basically Heavy Rain with dinosaurs. Everything is a quick time event, but I didn't mind that, because it was a really interesting story. And the stories are interesting, and that's why I started finding myself hating season 2. And I think having Clementine as the main character was a serious mistake.
Yeah,
they should have. If they're going to use Clementine, fast forward 10 years later.
Yeah, picking up immediately after what happened with what's his face?
Lee.
Yeah. I don't know.
And also, they were forced to have the characters treat a 10-year-old like a 20-year-old. They were forced to treat her like an adult, and it just felt so off when they were threatening her like she was a 30-year-old or an adult when she's not. And I get it. It's a zombie apocalypse. People grow up faster, but no, not that fast.
Yeah.
I mean, when Kenny started being really violently rude to her, it's like, no, this doesn't feel right. It doesn't, especially since Kenny's berserk button is threatening children. His entire thing is children, and here he is threatening to kill or implying he's going to kill Clem. Even if he's not, it's all your fault, and now I'm violently drunk.
Yeah.
Everything is Clem's fault. Because a 10-year-old has a lot of influence over what happens with adults. And then they all force Clem to do stuff that she shouldn't be doing. Oh, look, Kenny's really violent. Why don't you talk to him? Well, actually, that makes sense. But, or what's her face? The girl taking her to see that Russian guy? About the medicine, why did you take her with him? That makes no sense. I get it, she's the protagonist, but she's too young to be the protagonist. This is one of those cases in which, it didn't work. I guess they figured that out when the next episode was with Michonne, since she's an adult, and she's also a character from the show. I think she's also the character in the comic book, too.
Yeah.
But anyways, getting back to the talking, getting back to Telltale, I mean, Batman intrigues me because it sounds like they're going to be focusing on the Bruce Wayne character and not Batman as much,
which will be fun.
You know, he really doesn't get the short shrift. You know, Bruce Wayne, oh, he's so boring. It's a secret identity. Anyway, what else have you been playing, Scott?
Oh, I did play Civ during the Termcast, but only a little bit. I haven't played too much Minecraft at all this week, so it's been mostly The Legend of Heroes. I'm taking a break from Grim Dawn because really, I guess other people really love the looting mechanic of the Diablo clones, but for me, it just feels like too much. It's not fun seeing a whole bunch of useless crap that I don't want to use. It just takes a lot of the uniqueness out of it. Because like when I would play older RPGs, I would like save up or look for one particular cool sword. You know, I'd go to the volcano and I'd look for the ice sword, or I'd go to the underwater board and I'd find the lightning sword. You know, it just felt special that way.
You know, but there is something to be said about single-player-only RPGs where you're the hero, you know? It's hard to feel like a hero in an MMO when everybody else is the hero, too.
Yeah, and it's just, I don't know, it just doesn't feel as fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm enjoying Legend of Heroes, is because it's a lot less focus on the equipment and a lot more focus on the story. There's a ton of story with this game, and they have side quests and little NPCs. And it's really interesting because the NPCs actually have interesting things to say. Mm. You might do a side quest for somebody early in the game, and then like hours and hours on into the game, you might meet them later, and they'll be like, hey, remember we met you? And thank you for helping us back then. And, oh, I got this new mission for you now. Since you helped me back there, I got another mission for you or something. And it's just really cool.
Mm.
A lot more satisfying than, oh, here's 20 swords that aren't quite as good as what you're equipped with, and it's, you know, like, whatever, I don't care.
Everybody has the sword of ultimate truth, or a thousand truths.
Mm-hmm. When a monster blows up in those games, it's like Hanukkah, you get like 7 pieces of crap in one good gift.
Yeah.
And then the monster comes back because other people have to defeat it too.
Uh-huh.
That's the thing that always annoys me about MMOs, you know. Okay, I defeated the dragon, yay. Oh, you want to go and fight the dragon again? Well, my group wants to do it too. There's no such a closure.
That's what happened with Diablo 2, is somebody was like, oh, you want to go fight Diablo? I'm like, okay.
Well, no, see, Diablo is different. I mean, I don't mind that, because here's the thing. In that story, if you defeat him, he's dead for the rest of the tale, you know. There's no respawning of him. I mean, you could go into someone else's game and fight it, you know.
Right.
But at least when you're playing Diablo, you're a unique character with epic stuff, and the other person happens to be a unique character with epic stuff, but it's epic stuff that's different than yours. And you're both, you know, it's not like 5,000 people are all epic and they're fighting and all that, and who needs anything? Which is why, you know, City of Heroes and those other things are slightly loony, because everybody's a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you ever read the Champions Online comic book? Which you had this guy, and he's sitting, and he's holding a thing, and it's like he's a superhero on the train because it costs too much to fly. It's like, oh, I'm going to work. Oh, actually, there is it a game or is it a show? Have you seen this? There was an ad for something in which they had heroes on the train, and there were a bunch of heroes, and it's all you're in training. Like, it's just a regular work job. I think it's a show. And it's sort of like, you know, it's like it's casting being a superhero down to being like a garbage man or an ice cream vendor, you know. It's like, oh, yeah, I got to go to work. I'm a superhero. Got to go to work 9 to 5 with a drab costume. It's like it's the same thing as going to work at the furniture store, you know. Or, you know, actually, even better, it's like data entry. You have 500 people doing data entry and you're one of them. That's what it's like being a superhero with this show. You know, just like everybody, and you can make yourself a superhero. Or is it a movie? I forgot. Have you seen this?
No, I haven't seen that.
Okay. Well, keep an eye out for it. It's kind of an interesting concept, which is basically, you know. As for me, what I've been playing, I actually downloaded that new Batman, free-to-play Batman Arkham app on the iPad. And I knew nothing about it except you're dealing with villains, And I was pleasantly surprised, well, maybe not pleasantly surprised, but, you know, surprised in a way, that it's actually an RTS. And it's, you know, it's free to play with microtransactions, but I haven't really had to use microtransactions yet. And you're basically doing the Evil Genius thing in which you're hiring goons and you're building up your base, you know, and you have one hero to start with, and that's the Riddler. And he has his own special attacks. And they're using all the voices from the Batman Arkham games, too, which is cool. So the Riddler voice is the same one you hear in the game, you know, from Edward Nygma. So I've been doing that. I'm stalled on Bejeweled Stars because, I'm top level. What I've been doing is I've been going to old Bejeweled maps and seeing who beat me on the high scores and playing that map over and over and over again until I beat their score. So that I can be number one on my friends list. And I have a large friends list, so, you know, it kind of pisses me off when someone has more points than me. I say, no, it's my turn. And I keep playing until not only am I beat their score, but I beat their score by an order of magnitude higher. So, yeah, I'm petty in that way. And aside from Red Dead Redemption, I'm actually, since the Batman for the Xbox One, Batman Arkham compilation, which comes with Arkham Asylum and Arkham City, is coming in September, I've decided, you know what, I really have a yen for it, and I'm going to be playing Batman Arkham Asylum on Steam. And I'll say something, I prefer that over all of them because it's the most linear. And I'm also able to get all of the Riddler trophies just so I can hear the cops invade his place and take him away to jail, which is so satisfying if you've ever done that.
Oh, yeah.
If you got all 300 of the question marks or the clues, and he says, no, what are you doing? And the thing is, when you get to 298, I think it is, Batman goes on his computer, his wrist computer, and he starts typing out and informing the police, yeah, I got him triangulated. So even before you get 300, he's already got the Riddler, you mm-hmm. know? So it's a little touch that I like, you know?
Yeah, that is a great moment. That is a fantastic moment. And you're right, it is really hard to get it in. Like, I love Arkham City, it's my favorite one. It's really, like, I really like going after Hugo Strange, and I really like the way they did Penguin in that. But you're right, it's way too spread out, and it's much more of a hassle to get those trophies there.
Yeah. And also you have the Catwoman trophies in City?
That was, yeah, but that was DLC, and you didn't have to do that unless you felt like playing Catwoman.
Well, I got the special edition, so I got Catwoman. And the thing is that the version of Batman Arkham Asylum I have on Steam is the Game of the Year edition, so it has all the extra maps and all that stuff. And that's something else I like doing, are the challenge maps. And, of course, you know, the latter games don't include the challenge maps except as DLC.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my way of saying, fuck you. We got the challenge maps for free, goddammit. I'm not going to pay for it. Not to mention, all the Predator missions in Arkham Knight sucked. They were awful. That's the problem with an open world. They couldn't craft the Predator map, right? In Arkham Asylum, you know, linear, right, for the most part. I mean, you could go places, but the story was linear. When you went into a Predator map, it was tailored to be a Predator map,
mm-hmm.
and you really had to work at it, you know. In Arkham Origin, in Arkham Knight, it's like it's fucking wide open. All you have to do is stay out of sight. Take them down, boom, boom, and then get enough for your fear, and then it's all over, and it's like, no challenge at all. No matter how many devices they're, because in Arkham Asylum, when they start hitting, when they start blowing up the perches, and you have to use another way, that's actually a dangerous moment. You know, you have to find a way to do it different than you were doing it before. But now, just hide under the thing. Take them out one by one because they're all spread out and it's not a challenge.
That was like, I think the best example of that was the Mr. Freeze battle in Arkham City because it was set up like a Predator map, but you couldn't use the same techniques on him twice, like throughout the entire battle. So you constantly had to shift up your tactics, use a new tool, figure out a new way to go at him.
Well, you had to do that in the first one too, except it was a different way of attacking him from what direction, you know. I do it from underneath, now I do it from over. Now, you know, you had to do that in the first one too. Although I will say, actually in City, there was also one way that you could keep doing over and over, spamming over and over, and I was knocking those stalactites on top of them.
Oh, Oh, yeah, I never figured that out.
Oh, you just had to make sure he was underneath it, which the part of the floor would shine when he was there, so you had to blow it up, and it's, you know. But like I said, Batman Arkham Asylum was the most crafted. It had the most coherent story, you know, and that's the one I go back to because, you know, not that it's easier, even though it is a little easier, but because, you know, it's more of a story that I can follow, you know, and it's enjoyable, especially when you run by the place which is going to be the final map and the Joker face is slowly being built as you go along,
mm-hmm.
you know. Anyways, that's enough of that. We're going to move on to gaming news. Oh, God, and we're going to have one Pokemon Go story, and at least this one doesn't have anything to do with getting hit by a car because you're looking for a Pokemon, you know. fake Pokemon Go apps could contain malware and force your phone to click upon porn links, and this comes from Game Skinny. With the immense amount of popularity surrounding Pokemon Go, it isn't surprising that some shady web developers are trying to cash in on the excitement. Since the app's release, there have been multiple accounts of knockoff versions of Pokemon Go, which could contain malware and cause problems with your mobile device. The security forum ESET recently cracked down on one of these imposter apps called Pokemon Go Ultimate. Pokemon Go Ultimate would restart phones and run in the background post-restart, clicking ads to pornography websites. Fortunately, the app has been deleted off all the Google Play Store, but we're likely to see incidents like this for a good amount of time until the hype of Pokemon Go dies down a little bit. Yeah, good luck. For countries in Asia, however, fake Pokemon Go apps could be especially troublesome as the game has not been released there yet. To be honest, you know, China's banned it, so, yeah. Poco fans in Canada and Brazil should also be wary of imposter games until the official app is released in the aforementioned places. Besides randomly clicking on lewd websites, the fake apps could potentially get personal info from mobile devices. Of course, the real Pokemon Go can get info from your mobile device anyway if you log on with Google Play, as we discussed I think last week, it is important to be aware that of what you are downloading and make sure that you do your research before you click. Okay, let's talk about stupid people.
If it doesn't say
it was developed by Niantic, if I remember correctly.
Well, I was going to say official. If it doesn't say something official, but then I thought, well, some of them probably are called Pokemon Go Official. what a mess. Jesus. How fast were people working on making bootlegs of this as soon as it came out and started hitting the news?
That's just sad. I heard about a criminal, apparently, who accidentally walked into a police station and turned himself in looking for a Pokemon. As well,
you know, he had to. Well, here's the thing: he was hunting a Mew, and that he was gonna say, it's worth it. I'll get a Mew and I'll get arrested, but at least I have a Mew.
Wow.
Someone did find a Mew, so they do exist in the game.
I guess this is Darwin being amped up, you know. I don't know what to say.
What are they going to make a Pokemon?
It's sad that hackers have to do this, but it's
not really sad hackers have to do this. It's sad that people fall for it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to make money. You know, it's not cheating and it's not a crime if you don't get caught.
Yeah, honestly speaking, this is a hacker's wet dream. This is like something that can be so easily taken advantage of on so many levels, and there already is.
Especially in countries like China, where it's bad. I mean, someone said in an article that I was reading, you know, well, we're not going to get Pokemon Go, but that's okay. We'll wait 2 weeks, and some will get a knockoff.
And I have plenty of Canadian friends that really want this game, and they have been. I see them post on social media all the time about how they want to get into it, but. And this
hopefully the gleam will be off the game by the time it comes out in Canada, and it's already old hat. Oh, yeah, Pokemon, whatever.
Yeah.
You know what? Pokemon's been around for some time. If it hasn't been
over 20
old
years.
Hat by now, it's never going to be old hat.
No, Pokemon Go... See, well, here's the thing. There are Pokemon stuff that's old hat. You know, like Pokemon Stadium.
I mean, Pokemon itself has been around for, like... I think it's been 20 years now. It's not going anywhere.
As thin as the Pokemon game is, Pokemon Go is even thinner. See, that's the problem I have with it, you know?
I thought it was pretty boring the very first time it came out, just like with Power Rangers, but it kept going. I don't know what to tell you.
The spinoffs didn't have it kept going, just the main Pokemon thing.
I'll tell you what it is. It's Destiny, except you can put it in your pocket and take it with you, so it's not nearly as boring. Because that's what the strength of it is that you go and hang out with your friends in the park, go see what you find, and then move on.
Easy, casual game to jump in and jump out of.
Yeah, and parents are on board with it because their kids are going out, but unfortunately, they forgot that... Going out unsupervised could be dangerous.
Right. And
going out without a brain, apparently, is really the problem.
I'm going to get this Pidgey! Splat. The Pidgey is not going to save you. You're not Ash. But, at least Pokemon... I don't know. Maybe I haven't gotten too far into it, but after I learned that Google, what's it called, logging on with Google was going to give them access to all your information on your cell phone. I was like, no.
Non-starter.
No, that's I'm done. Wait. The thing that makes me wonder is, are they going to release a version of this for the 3DS? Because the 3DS does augmented reality, too.
Well, the 3DS already has Pokemon on it.
I mean this kind of Pokemon in which you go around real-world locations looking for Pokemon.
I would bet money that something is in the works to be added to Pokemon Sun and Moon.
Yeah. So, at least, and here's the thing, augmented reality works better than virtual reality, to tell you the truth.
And even then, you can, if you don't feel like playing with AR, you can turn it off. Like, it's a game that tries to, I guess, cater to, like, the most simplistic forms of play possible, but that's just so it can invite... Well, that's what the idea behind those is invite the most people in by making this as simple as possible.
You know, when you started going, it's, I thought you were going to go... it's. Yeah, it's just... I don't know.
I think it's definitely a thing of technology is moving faster than society at this point.
It's always been the case, though, hasn't it?
Yeah, but this is like a prime example of it.
I mean, I think technology has been going faster than mankind ever since the industrial age, really. I mean, we started doing industrial stuff, and we weren't ready for it.
Yeah.
Which is why...
Some people, I think, weren't ready for it.
Have you ever been to London? And
no.
There are some streets, like one is called Shitewife. And the reason why it's called that is because that is where people dumped out shit into the street. And that's why it was called that. Because in the industrial age, they got a lot very polluted before they knew how to handle all the pollution. So you have places like Shitewife... Shiteway and stuff like that. Really gross names for disgusting names for England, for London roads.
Apparently they didn't have sewer systems.
They did, but let me see. The rudest Laycock Street, I guess you can figure out that was in Cock Lane and Cock Pond and White Knobs Way. And in case you're wondering, couldn't be what it meant. No, that's exactly what they meant at the time, yeah. So,
I'm going to call it here then. Shitewife, or no, Pokemon Go stops are the Shitewives of 2016.
Okay. Okay. Anyway, let's move on to the next item. Go ahead, TJ.
Fraudsters force RimWorld dev to stop giving out Steam keys from Eurogamer.
I'm detecting a sort of a pattern in these news items. The news item we talked about before was fraud. Now we're talking about another fraud.
Fraudsters have forced the developer of RimWorld to stop giving out Steam keys to new buyers of this game. Tennant Sylvester, the indie developer behind sci-fi colony sim RimWorld, said he had to shut down Steam key distribution from developer Ludian Studios' website in order to avoid thousands of dollars in chargeback keys and lost sales. RimWorld is a well-received sci-fi colony game inspired by Dwarf Fortress, Firefly, and Dune.
Hold on, just wondering, Have either of you tried to play Dwarf Fortress?
I have gotten a look at it, and it looks ridiculous, and I can't even begin to comprehend.
It's ridiculously hard.
I have not played that game at all.
It's ridiculously hard. Don't attempt it unless you want dozens of dwarves dying of starvation because you forgot one minor thing 20 days ago.
Yeah, it's like Oregon Trail to the max. But
but I beat Oregon Trail. See, that's the thing.
It's like Oregon Trail if you were what was it? What was the worst job? Was it farmer? If you picked farmer and left in the dead of winter. But let's see. You begin with three survivors of a shipwreck on a distant world and manage colonists' moods, needs, wounds, and illnesses. In a post on the Ludian blog dated 17th July, Sylvester said that following RimWorld's launch on Steam as an early access title, his company had been hammered by fraudsters who are obviously more experienced than I. Sylvester had enabled a system to coincide with the early access launch where everyone who already owned RimWorld would be able to move their game to Steam. To do this, he gave out Steam keys via an automated link and KeySender. All you had to do was get your RimWorld Steam key was to log into Steam via the RimWorld website, which would then ask for your purchase email. Your Steam key would then be permanently associated with your purchase email and Steam account. It looks like this was the system that fraudsters took advantage of. Quote, all the stolen keys are being canceled and should be deactivated before they can be sold, or soon after, depending on how fast Valve does it, Sylvester, end quote, Sylvester continued. The funds they were stolen with are being returned to their rightful owners. If you don't want to be ripped off by fraudsters, be sure to buy direct from Steam. The plight facing RimWorld and Ludian Studios shines a light on one of the biggest issues in PC gaming publishing right now. The developers may face crushing chargeback fees from stolen credit cards used to buy games. Fraudsters make money by selling these keys on eBay, or via eBay style, on PC game websites. Now buying from the SteamWorld site gets customers a DRM-free copy of the game, as before, but no Steam key. For now, then, if you're interested in buying in RimWorld, it's probably best to get it from Steam.
Yeah, because they'd sell it, and they'd get the money, and then they'd cancel the Steam, and people who got ripped off would get chargeback from the for getting a stolen item, and it would take money out of Ludian's hands. So what happens is that they're paying for stolen items that they had no, you know, that they were completely innocent of.
Yeah,
this is the kind of people that I hate when they have abused a system like that. That, you know, I mean, I guess you could say, well, they should have been up on their security, but I don't really like victim blaming.
It isn't really all about security, really. And this all goes back to Valve notice, you know?
Mm.
It's way too abusable of a system. I mean, this isn't an example of a guy trying to give back to the people that helped him get this far and just trying to do a nice thing. And this is why we can't have nice things, because there's people out there that will ruin it.
That's exactly what PC Gamer said, by the way, on their thing. If you go to PC Gamer's news item, it says, by Eddie Chalk, this is why we can't have nice things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, great minds think alike, although I don't know how great Andy Chalk's mind is.
Well, I take that as a compliment because you didn't say anything about me. But
So he said that it adds up to hundreds of thousands of dollars
for
chargeback fees.
That sucks.
Very much.
So,
and, I mean, it sounds like a great game. It sounds really fun, and it sounds like the community has been involved in helping him get it ready, and then tried to do something nice, and this is how it happens.
Yeah. But, like I said, this is something Valve has to address. I mean, because there's so much shady stuff going on around Steam and Valve that they tend to just shrug their shoulders at.
Yeah, and that is the other problem, is that Valve, if you're making an indie game, you kind of have to go through Valve, because that's the way you get your name out there.
Yeah,
that's
Steam
the
Greenlight.
Way you sell it. That's the way you sell it. Getting early access is a big deal for a lot of indie publishers.
But
I don't know, Mojang didn't need to be on Steam.
Yeah, but Mojang was more of a grassroots thing, and they didn't start on Steam. They didn't start anything. They just sold alphas to people, you know, as betas, I mean, as a demo. You know, said, hey, check this out. And it just got word of mouth. I mean, that's kind of the exception that proves the rule, you know. Mm.
That and the indie marketplace has become so congested since Minecraft first came out.
Yeah, when did Minecraft first come out? 2009? Or 2010? I mean, well, even before it was released, I mean, you can't count the release date because that game was released before it was released. I mean, anybody playing the beta version of Minecraft felt it was already done. So the initial release date was in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
So this Minecraft is going on since, what, 2006, I would guess, maybe?
Yeah.
I'm pretty, something like 2006. So, you know, that's the exception to the rule, and I don't know when Steam Greenlight started, actually.
But
no,
like,
it started in 2009. It was officially released in 2011.
So
I'm going to go to development and see when it really, really started. Yeah, 2009 is when it started development.
But if you think about around that time, like before that, like you heard about indie games, like we had Braid and things like that, but they really...
Yeah, but that and Microsoft's marketing money, really can't count those, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the indie games you learned about in magazines and official websites, you know, there wasn't as much of a word of mouth on a great game. I mean, occasionally, there would be something that's really hyped up and say, oh, you know, when Quap was first released, maybe it was Quap, you know, something like Quap was like a word of mouth sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, actually, Goat Simulator, if you want to really think about it, one of the later games that did not really get its fame on Steam Greenlight, it was just one of these things in which people said, oh, this is weird.
Yeah, and nowadays you have Steam, you have Kickstarter, you have Fig. You have all these different outlets to let people know what you're doing.
Oh, and World of Goo. World of Goo. That was an indie game that didn't have any help from anybody. And the thing about World of Goo...
Wasn't that on Nintendo?
World of Goo?
Yeah,
it eventually got onto Wii U. It was a PC Wii game, and then it got on other platforms.
I saw it.
And, well, here's the thing about World of Goo, was that it was completely DRM-free. And they said to people, pay whatever you want for it. You can pay a penny for it, you know. And most people paid for the suggested price, $5. A lot of them paid $20, $30, you know. And that's probably what later would inspire the Humble Bundle, right?
Yeah.
But World of Goo is important in that it proved that not only did DRM-free games work, especially for indie developers, but people were really willing to pay a lot of money for something they could have paid a penny for. You know, they said, pay us what you want. People said, okay, we're going to pay what you suggest. It's like going to the museum, you know. You could go into the museum for free, but more often than not, what are you going to do? You're going to pay the suggested price. Oh, $10.
Yeah.
I still haven't finished World of Goo, by the way. I have to do that sometime. So last thoughts before we move on?
Something has to be done about Valve. They need to either take their crap more seriously or something legally needs to come down on them extremely hard to make them fix it.
Scott?
Yeah, I think you're right because I'm getting more and more into the Galaxy GOG Steam browser or you know, their own browser, and it's less cluttered, you know.
Well. So, see, the thing with good old games is that that's pay once, get your thing free, that's it. You know, you don't get a key. You just get registered on their site, you buy the game, it's in the library, you can download it any time. Sort of like what I have in the Xbox One, you know. All the backwards compatible stuff that I had, it's just waiting there for me if I want to download it, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's making it better to me anyways. And also, you get free games with GOG Galaxy, or just GOG in general. I have gotten more free games with them than ever with Steam. I don't think I've ever gotten a free game from Steam.
See, here's the thing. Oh, I've gotten free games from Steam. But thing about... No, not review copies. I mean actual free games. They do have their free game things. The problem with getting free games or all these games is that I have a crap ton of games I've never played on Steam. You know, it's like there's no way I can be able to play all of them. You know, so... But I will say this, though. It's a lot easier for kids who remember way back in the day.
Ooh.
They had to pay $70 for the one NES game they liked, and they better like it, because that's the only one they're going to get for about a year.
Have you seen the mini NES?
Yeah, that's whatever. That's, it's like the Atari awesome. Flashback.
I want that so much.
It's like the Atari Flashback or the other things, you know, the mini Neo Geo. It's just doing with NES.
Yeah.
Nintendo finally opened their purse strings, I guess, and said, okay, fine, we'll do the... Because they were opposed to that, because they don't want... They don't want you playing free games. I mean, it's not free, right? You have to pay for it.
It's not free. You have to pay,
but it's a huge bundle of games, and Nintendo don't play that. Nintendo for a long time, no. We want you to buy Zelda for the eighth time, the original Zelda, the original Gold Cart Legend of Zelda. It's available now on this system for $5. We want you to buy it again. So the thing about the new the NES mini console is that they're actually doing a bundle. And I think that's a sign that Nintendo's brand is weakening in terms of finance. So they're saying, "Oh crap, we better find new ways to make money." You know,
I don't see that as weakening. I see that as
diversifying
and making these older games easier available. So that way, if the NX isn't going to have them, here's how you can have your old games on this mini NES.
What does that have to do with the NX? It's just a mini console like the Atari Flashback. Remember when they included all these games on an Atari controller? Anyway, like I said, unless Athena is there, I don't really care. And Athena was crap, from what I understand. But I liked Athena. But getting back to what I'm talking about is that kids, right? Remember, back in the day, you got one cartridge, and that was supposed to last you for a couple of months. And that was the only game you're going to be playing. You had one cartridge and a bunch of old cartridges, but you had one new cartridge. It's not. Now you can go to Humble Bundle, buy 7 games for 10 cents. You know, at least you have a library of new stuff. You know, there's so many ways to get inexpensive games now. When they used to cost $50, $60, $70 in 1990s money.
Hmm.
Oh, I know, TJ. You didn't do the console thing, so you don't have to worry about that. I did the Commodore 64 thing for a while, and the Commodore Amiga.
I had a Commodore 64. I had the old Atari, the wood one. And I had a Tandy. And then
oh, God, the Tandy.
Up to a Packard Bell.
I actually, my cousin had a Tandy, and he had the Alice in Wonderland sort of adventure game, and he could only get halfway through, and I beat it in an afternoon.
Yeah, and I of course I got Nintendo 8-bit and NES and. Nintendo.
See, I'll be impressed if they do an NES, Super NES version of the Flashback, because I was reading today, I was listening to a podcast, the Rebel FM podcast, their 300th, and they were talking about how. Oh, no, it wasn't them. It was someone else. But how all the games that were on the NES, Nintendo successfully improved on the SNES.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, all their good titles.
There's a couple things I'm seeing on this list that are extremely, like, depending on how limited the production of this is, it's going to be extremely desirable.
Oh, yeah.
For instance, Ice Climber is on there, and I don't know if you know about Ice Climber, but it's one of the rarest NES games of all time. Like, it's
except
one of those.
You're playing Super Smash Brothers.
Right, but it's one of those cartridges that is like plastic gold.
Okay.
And that's going to be one of the games that's included on here. Like, to have that in like an actual console, like a legit console, not an emulation, is something that's going to make this extreme. Like, games like that, there's a few others on here that are pretty interesting, like Star Tropics, the original Final Fantasy, Ghosts and Goblins.
Yep. So I have MAME. I don't need those other games.
But there are people that could.
Oh, I know. But the thing is that, you know, I don't have the nostalgia filter. I'll say one right now.
Nostalgia. Maybe you want to introduce GoldenEye to these games.
GoldenEye was hot garbage. It was hot garbage then, and it's hot garbage now. But it was hot garbage then.
Well, GoldenEye.
It was hot garbage, but you know, it's the Nintendo fans didn't have first person shooters.
On N64.
So. I mean, they didn't console players didn't have the first person shooter, so you know, it's like, oh, this is what it's like. Yeah, it's hot. It was hot garbage back in the day. I'm sorry, but it was.
The difference is that most of the games that are on the Nintendo are still fun.
I don't know.
I remember my friends and I playing GoldenEye obsessively. So.
Yeah, but you know what? Your tastes are now more refined. I dare you to play it now, just like I dare you to play the original NES version of Perfect Dark. It's not that good. Yeah, and we have a nostalgia figure. When Rare re-released it on the 360, Perfect Dark was it HD? Someone wrote in a review, "This is what you remember it being, not what it was." You know. So, I mean, that's fine, you know. But I generally don't care about recycled stuff. Oh, you know. Speaking of which, I know we never got into this, but Mighty Number 9. It's average. I don't see why people think it's a bad game, except for the fact it didn't look like what their initial screenshots were going to look like. It's a good game. It's nothing to cry home about, but it's not bad. You know?
Because it wasn't perfect. That's really all there is to it.
Or maybe they lied to them, and gamers hate being lied to, quote-unquote, except for when they're hearing lies that they want to hear.
Honestly, for as long as Mighty Number 9 was delayed and for as many times as they promised what was going to be in the game, the worst thing it could have done was be average. Like, it could have been bad or it could have been good and people would have talked about it, but...
I'm not even saying it's average. I'm saying it's a good game, but, you know, it's not something to, you know, that's going to revolutionize anything. You know, it does what it does really well. I mean, and maybe it's because the graphics seem fine. I mean, they're not... You know, they're Neo Geo graphics. You know, I don't know. This isn't a case like, oh, what was that game, Scott, that is taking forever? And I could say actually any of the games. Was it Project Phoenix or something with a phoenix in it?
Yeah, Project Phoenix is taking its time coming out. I did not back that, and I guess I'm glad I didn't. It's having a lot of issues, apparently.
Well, the problem with that is that they're holding out for a programmer, and the programmer, after a couple of months, said, oh, I'm not going to do it. So they're left high and dry. These guys, you know, a lot of these, and I hate, this is not racist, but a lot of these people who are making these bad Kickstarter projects are Japanese, and they don't seem to understand that it's better to have a game half done before you do a Kickstarter on it.
I think the bad Kickstarters have been all across the board. I've heard.
Yeah, but you see, here's the thing. As much crap as Tim Schafer did for Broken Age, they released a game and it was actually good. The only problem was that it was costing more than they thought it would. These other games, they don't have the personnel.
There was also the Red Riding Hood game.
That was a different circumstance.
That had to be released through someone else, completed and released through someone else. The original.
But even so, they got the game released. See, they actually the games that the you're saying across the board, but the problems are different. With Western games, it tends to be about money. With the Japanese games, it's bad planning. They don't have the personnel that they want. I remember one of these games was taking so long. I think it was a Project Phoenix game. That their composer had, started when he was 22, and he left when he was 24.
There's actually also Hero U, which is Corey and Lori Cole, and that I did back, and it's taken quite a while. They actually were planning originally to go to 2D, but doing 2D nowadays apparently is so difficult to program for that it's actually easier to go to 3D. And
you know what mindset that is, you know?
Spent a lot of money on the 2D, and so they had to recoup that it done in 3D.
Do you know which developer had that mindset? 3D Realms.
Yes.
3D Realms. Because they did Duke Nukem Forever, and then they saw, oh, wait, people are using Quake Engine. Oh, wait, they're using the Half-Life Engine. Oh, wait, they're doing this. Oh, wait, they're doing that. And they didn't release the game. They didn't want to have a technically out-of-date game. But that's the wrong thing to use. Half-Life, the original Half-Life's engine was a barely modified Quake engine, and it was dated when it first came out. But it was a smash success.
Yeah. Because you know? It told a story. It told a good story.
By the way, I never did get to play the day one edition of Half-Life, which is supposed to have an even further extended opening scene, which you did nothing.
Hmm.
In which you the same tram ride, but you spend an entire day in deep Black Mesa before you actually did the experiment.
That sounds like a historian's endeavor. Like, I can see why they would cut that out for commercial release. But
it would be nice for a special edition. You know,
it definitely would. It would. That's like a collector's sort of thing. And I would dig that because that's like having the extra endings, having the director's commentary, sort of stuff like that on a DVD.
Yeah. I'm going to say this right now, and I reviewed all of them for GamePen, and I was one of the few reviewers. I gave Blue Shift 4 out of 5 stars, and history has redeemed me because people are starting to realize what a great game it was, Blue Shift. And the biggest accusation aimed at it was that it was short. And my thing is, so what? It was a great experience. You know, it was a short experience, but it was great.
Yeah.
And now everybody loves Barney.
was that written by the same guy who's done Yeah, okay.
It was written by the same guy who did Half-Life 2, I believe. But yeah, I mean, it was also the only Half-Life game of any of them that has a happy ending. Although I never played Half-Life Decay because that was a PlayStation only game. Did that have a happy ending? I think it did. I didn't play it, so I wouldn't know.
Okay.
Anyway, we're getting way off topic here, which is fine because it eats up time. But I don't know. It's there has to be a better way to do Steam keys, Valve.
There has to be a better way to do most of what Valve is doing.
I mean, it sounds like what he should have done was, instead of giving out a Steam key just immediately, there should be a way, when you buy a game, instead of getting a Steam key, what's it called? He says, in order, if you want to get it on Steam, purchase it directly from Steam. Right? So he should have had his site, but but he was giving off these keys to people who already had a copy of the game. That's the issue. You know what? What they should do is they should just do what Valve was doing with a lot of people who were defrauding before, I think it was last year, and just have a 1 week wait. So you couldn't go on eBay and sell the key, you know, or do whatever Malavendit because it's taking so long. Give one week of verification, right? So you can't sell the key, right? And you're stuck with the game. At least that's what I think. Anyways, we're going to move on. Scott, let's talk about some Skyrim.
Okay. Bethesda defends $60 price tag for Skyrim Remastered. This is from Gaming Bolt. The remaster of Skyrim is very extensive, including all the DLC ever released for the game, also remastered, and it introduces mod support for consoles, too. Bethesda's Pete Hines took to his Twitter to point out just how extensively the game has been overhauled from the original. Hines also shared some information on the languages the game will be supporting, the same as the original Skyrim, as well as information on preloads for digital pre-orders should be available in the coming weeks. The Elder Scrolls Skyrim Special Edition is due out later this year on Xbox One, PS4, and PC. Pete Hines tweeted it was a full game with all DLC and mod support and updated graphics running on 2 new consoles. If you don't want that, don't buy it.
You know, I'm just wondering if it's being released for PC too. And
if you have the original on PC, then you will get the enhanced edition.
Okay, I was just wondering about that.
Yeah, you will get it.
I'm not a huge Skyrim fan, you know. I mean, I've completed everything in Oblivion. I know you're a huge, huge Skyrim fan there, Scott, but I never really... I never completed it, actually. This is the first Elder Scrolls game I did not finish. I just gave up on the entire... That's why I haven't played Elder Scrolls Online, Because I said, oh no, more Elder Scrolls. It's going to be the same exact thing as well. But, so, TJ, would you pick up the Skyrim Remastered for the PS4?
For $60? Fuck no. This isn't Doom in 1990 to Doom 2016.
Because the current edition of Skyrim you can get for like $5 now.
On PC.
Yeah. I mean, yes, I understand it takes some time to update graphics, but to just put in like the DLC that you already sold and slap it on top of there and say, well, that legitimizes the fact that this is... No, it doesn't.
Well, it's a Game of the Year edition. I see what you're saying, though. Game of the Year edition is usually like $40 or $50 or something off.
Case in point. Dishonored Definitive Edition comes with the DLC.
Pretty cheap during the summer sale.
Yeah, it's like...
Forget the sales, just the regular MSRP.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Dishonored DE was like... I think I bought it for... I bought it full price for $20, I think. Mm. All the updated graphics, all the DLC... No, this is not legit. Fuck.
So here's a question: if someone never played Skyrim before, is it worth $60?
No, because I mean, if you want to play the game, just fucking get the crappier version for $5.
Well, you're not going to be able to do that on the PS4 or the Xbox One. That's a reason why, even though it's the most demanded, the most demanded Xbox One backwards compatible game, because now that Red Dead Redemption is out. It's not going to happen because the remastered version is coming out.
I think it's taking advantage, and quite frankly, I don't care about. I don't care for Pete Hines' reasoning. It's taking advantage.
Well, you know, I mean, if people buy it, it's a ballot for more stuff like this. Just so you know, I personally, if I was going to do Skyrim again, and I would want to do it on the Xbox One because then I get achievements, and also. Mods are okay. But if I'm going to do it, I'm going to wait a year and a half because you know that thing's going to drop in price to $30.
Probably, yeah.
So, I mean, if you're patient, good things happen. If you don't have to play it right now, I mean, I will get the Forza Horizon 3 right on day one or pre-order it, right? But I don't have to do everything like that. Oh, by the way, I found out something very interesting about Xbox Anywhere. If you want to do Xbox Anywhere, do not get the physical copy of the Xbox One version of the game because it's not eligible. If you want to do Xbox Anywhere, you must buy it digitally on the Xbox One if you get the Xbox One version, if you want the PC version too, or the Windows 10 version. It will not work if you get the disc version.
Yeah.
So that's a PSA from me right now. If you get the disc version of, say, Forza Horizon 3, you're not going to get it on Windows 10. So if you're going to get it digitally.
I will say this on the whole $60 price tag. If you didn't buy the game till now, you can probably wait a bit more.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Is Skyrim, with all the DLC, and I'm not talking about... having been released, is it a $60 game? I mean, in terms of quality.
I think so.
I mean, yeah, you can wait and get it for cheaper, but I'm just saying, as a whole, it's a $60 game, you know.
Because how many hours did I spend? I think it was $60.
Your Steam account should say.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at.
Here's the thing, I quit like a fifth into the game, still registered 80 hours.
Did you say 1,000 hours, Scott?
Yeah, but I'm saying I stopped, you know, very early in the game, and I still registered 80 hours, and I think that's the reason why I stopped, because it was taking so long for anything to happen. I mean, I've done the exploration stuff in Oblivion. That was... I'm done, you know. Now I'm more... I want stuff to happen now, you know. At least in Red Dead Redemption, if I take a while, it's because I want to take a while, you know. I'm moseying along because I want to. Not because the game is so long to get from point A to point B.
That part didn't really take that long, and apparently you can speedrun just the main story in, like, I don't know, a couple hours.
Why would I want to speedrun it?
Or, I don't know, if people love these speedruns crap,
I want you want to bet they, if it's the PC version, they had to hack it so that you run it four times your regular speed or something like that.
Yeah, or whatever, and it just doesn't really impress me that you can do that, I guess.
I was about to say, was this the one in which Patrick Stewart says, "You are the one I seen in my dream"? No, that was Oblivion. This one is the one in which you're on trial and the dragon attacks everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're about to be executed, right. And dragon attacks and saves you, and then you
have a choice between either go with the choice A and choice B.
Yeah.
I'll go. I mean, I'm with you, Jonah. I didn't finish the game because I explored for hours and hours and hours and hours, and by the time I had finished exploring, I was like, I don't feel like finishing this.
Mm. Oh, Max von Sydow was in Skyrim. That's right. It was Max von Sydow for the Skyrim version.
I won't say that that's against the game on my part. I will say that I just ended up not having the time for it anymore.
Yeah. Well, with me, it was more like, yeah, I did the shit out of Oblivion. Okay, that's fine. I don't need to do it again. And I don't know why it's different with Fallout. I think because Fallout is more interesting. That's the other problem, is that Skyrim, to me, wasn't all that interesting. Fallout 4 was at least interesting to me. I also have Fallout New Vegas. I have not completed that, and I think it's because that is not interesting. For whatever reason, Fallout New Vegas was not interesting to me, even though it has a lot more complex faction system and more, you know. But Fallout 4... But here's the thing about Fallout 4 is that I have no interest in playing it again.
I mean, Fallout New Vegas, for all its bells and whistles, I like it more than I like Fallout 3, but I understand people's gripe with it. That's a long time to wander a desert.
that's the tagline, isn't it? I don't know. So, maybe I'll give it a shot. At least, here's the thing about getting the Xbox One version for me in like a year and a half for $30 or $20 or whatever price it precipitously drops to. At least I'll get achievements. That's the one thing about playing bad games on an Xbox system, and I guess you can say the same thing about a PlayStation system, is that even if you're playing a bad game, well, at least I'm getting achievements.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's play. Oh, fuck, what was the name of the game again, based on that IP? The Last Airbender. Hey, at least you can get 1,000 achievement points for doing almost nothing. Do you remember that? It was like, you punch the air 50 times, you get 100 achievement points. Or something ridiculous like that.
What was the IP you were talking about?
The Last Airbender.
You could get achievement points for just doing nothing?
Almost nothing. It was like you could get 1,000 all the achievement 1,000 achievement points in a space of 10 minutes, and there was a guide for doing it. So the thing is that doing that gave you the scarlet letter A on your chest. It's like, oh really? You did the cheap achievements, didn't you? You know, the first year of achievements on the Xbox 360 were strange. Some games were very easy to do, like the EA Sports games were easy to get 1,000. Then you had Bejeweled 2. 50,000 star gems. Yeah, that's a lot.
I mean, yeah, that's always been fighting games too since Xbox 360.
You know,
it was like compete in 200 ranked matches.
Yeah, that's the problem though. I don't like online multiplayer achievements. They suck. Do I really have to?
And when you have a game that's like punctuated by online multiplayer, like God, it makes it such a slog.
I will say this, you know, I found out to my delight, checking, that I have 60 of the 62 achievements in Mass Effect 2. And the only two that are left are just playing on Insanity, which I could do because I have a level 60 character, you know.
Is that why you're looking for backwards compatibility, so you can hit those last two?
Well, no, I'd have to play it on my 360 because the saves did not carry over on Mass Effect 1. So if I'm going to do that, I'm going to have to do it on my 360, which I still have with a monitor, you know. But I just want it backwards compatible because I finished a game on the Xbox One. My Shepard on that system is waiting. Continuous adventures. And EA, you know, I wish I knew people at EA again. I used to know people at EA. I used to know people at BioWare. I don't anymore because they're no longer there. And I can't say, hey, you know what? How about just doing this? Here's the funny thing is I wrote an article on GameStooge talking about why the Mass Effect 3 endings failed. And I went in depth about it, right? And I suggested what they should do. And a couple of months later, you know, I actually sent the article to David Gator, and I also sent it to who is not the Musica, not Ray Musica, not the other person. Oh, Casey Hudson. I sent it to Casey Hudson too. And a couple of months later, everything that I suggested they do in the article, they did in the extended cut.
Hmm.
And it's either they listen to me or great minds think alike. So.
I guess great minds think alike.
Yeah. But the Citadel DLC was... Oh, why are we talking about Mass Effect all of a sudden? We're going to move on to the next item. And yeah, apparently the consensus here is don't pay $60 for Skyrim Remastered. Xbox One S arrives on August 2nd, and this comes from Major Nelson. Major Nelson has posted on his official site that last month revealed the new member of the Xbox One family, the Xbox One S. Today we're pleased to announce that the highly anticipated 2TB Xbox One S launch edition will start hitting shelves in select regions on August 2nd. That means all pre-orders that arrive on August 2nd, and for those of you who haven't yet, you can still pre-order the 2TB Xbox One S launch through the Microsoft Store and select retailers, including Amazon. I checked. Amazon has it for 90 cents less, so if you're really hard up and want to save a dollar on, you know. Beyond the fresh new design, it's the first console that's going to allow you to watch in stunning 4K Ultra HD with HDR, which will also work for games like Gears of War 4 and Forza Horizon 3 and Scalebound. By the way, that makes me wonder, if that's true, I guess the Xbox One S is also an upgrade from the Xbox One in that you're going to get HDR. And does that imply the Xbox One can't do that? Huh. The Xbox One also comes bundled with a new wireless controller, which is really nice. I mean, those controllers cost $60. So it's nice that you're getting a new controller with it. I guess they can do that because it's not going to include Kinect. Improved wireless signal and added Bluetooth support, which requires Windows 10 running the Windows Anniversary Update. I mean, you can use this Xbox wireless controller with Windows 10 is what they're saying, you know, but you need the update. You can also purchase it separately for $60. What they don't talk about here is that there's also a Gears of War 4 bundle coming as well, which also includes the game. For those of you looking for additional Xbox One S hard drive options, we'll be offering the console and also the 1TB and 500GB hard drives. And here's where I sort of... It was sort of like a bait and switch for me. So the 2TB Xbox One is going to cost $400. The 1TB is going to be $350, and the 500GB is going to cost $300. The Gears 4 edition is going to cost $449. And I got the impression when I was at the Microsoft press conference that the 2TB Xbox One S was going to be $300. That changes things a little bit for me. I don't know if I'm going to shell out $400 for a new Xbox One. $300, maybe. You know, if it was going to be a 2TB Xbox One S for $300, then yeah. Oh, and the other thing is that you have to get an adapter if you want to keep Kinect with your Xbox One S. And the adapter is going to cost $40. Now, the good thing is if you already own an Xbox One with a Kinect, you can get it for free. So there's that at least. So if I do upgrade, I won't have to spend $40 extra to let my Xbox One S be able to use Kinect. And even if that weren't the case, remember, the new update is that you'll be able to do Kinect commands through your headphone instead of having to do the Xbox the Kinect. So you'll be able to do all the voice recognition with a mic instead of having to have Kinect. So it's not a real big loss.
Yeah.
So my new impression is that I don't know if I'm going to pick up the Xbox One S unless I have a nice new job. Again, as I mentioned off panel. And that I'm having my interview with the Alamos. I'm sorry, the Alamos. Oh,
Alamo Movie House that's opening up in Brooklyn. There's already one in Yonkers and Scott.
Hadn't Phil Spencer or somebody from Xbox had said that they weren't planning on releasing an Xbox to be updated against the PlayStation 4.5?
Yes.
I just find that ironic that we're...
Well, no, but that's that's Project Scorpio. That's something completely different.
No. Spence said, I have the article somewhere. Like, it's saved in my bookmarks because it's the most hilarious shit. He said, and I quote, Xbox One will never do a Slim Edition because we like to move forward in solid numbers.
I'm not sure because the Xbox 360 had a Slim Edition.
No, he said...
I'm just saying, I know the Xbox One. I'm just saying the Xbox 360 had a Slim Edition. Anytime someone says that, it's complete and utter bullshit.
Yeah.
Don't believe them. I mean, every time... See, what surprises me, he didn't say Microsoft does not engage in rumors or speculation. That's usually the boilerplate answer for all this stuff. Right. We don't talk about rumors. And whenever they say that, it means, yeah, confirmed. That's their way of saying, yeah, confirmed.
I just feel like this is... I don't really like this concept for the consoles. It's just too close together, and it makes me feel like, why would I want to invest in a console when you're just going to release more hardware?
The thing is that this isn't appreciably more advanced than the Xbox One. All it's doing is adding 4K, really. You know, HDR,
But the original Xbox One will still be able to do, play all the games.
Well, the Project Scorpio. Now, the thing about the PlayStation Neo, which I think they're calling it, and Project Scorpion, is that they'll be forward compatible. So what happens is you have a better game in terms of graphics and also content than you would with the previous versions. But you can still play on both. The disc will still work on both of them. So there's that.
So for you, Jonah.
Yes.
You've had an Xbox One.
Well, here's the thing. I had an Xbox 360, and I never changed from the launch edition. I never got an Xbox 360 Slim. You know, I never got it.
Is Xbox One S good enough? Like, is it enough of a...
Not a 400. See, here's the thing. If I'm going to get an Xbox One S, I want to get the 2 terabyte. And that's going to cost $400. That's a bit above my... That's not a little bit more than I want to spend. Because when you're talking about $400, that's a new car. That's a new console.
Uh-huh.
That's a new console price. And, you know, it's good because it's new and shiny, and people who don't own an Xbox One are going to buy it. People who do own an Xbox One... I'm not going to say they're not going to buy it because people buy their upgraded hardware and they get deals at GameStop. And that's another thing. If I get a deal from GameStop, like a trade-in is like $100, then, yeah, maybe I'll do it. And I might even do it the Xbox One I have is 500 gigabytes, right? So mm-hmm. If I was to do the GameStop deal of getting $100, say, I'm pulling this out of my butt, but it's usually this $100, getting a new Xbox One Slim for $200, that is a good price because I do own a 4K TV and I will be able to see. Here's the thing, I'll be able to watch 4K YouTube videos because there's plenty of those.
Mm-hmm.
But I am not going to spend $400 on a 2 terabyte Xbox One S. I don't need to.
Do you think that this is indicative of how are they going to be looking at charging more for the Scorpio, or is this going to be?
Oh, the Scorpio is going to cost $500. I'm going to tell you that right now. It's going to cost $500. But I spent $500 on the Xbox One, so it's not a bad... See, here's the thing, though. It's appreciably because it's going to be able to play games in 4K. See, and it's also going to have 6 teraflops and all the other bits and things that they embarrassed... what's it called? Sony was too embarrassed to talk about the Neo. They had it on their docket. I know this for a fact, that they were going to talk about it. But when Microsoft did their thing, they said, we're not going to talk about it. Because they're going to make our thing seem like a piece of shit. So we're going to stress VR instead. And, you know, they have a warehouse full of Move controllers they need to move. VR, apparently you need Move controllers to do VR.
Hmm.
So, no, I'm not going to buy an Xbox One S for $400. I'm just not. If I have a nice job that is, you know, and I don't have to worry about rent then I might actually consider, yeah, I'll go to GameStop, see if I can get $100 off by trading in my Xbox One. You know? Although, I will be candid, I'd rather have an Elite controller than a new Xbox.
Yeah. The Elite controllers cost something like $150, don't
they? Oh, and they also have new Elite controller that's going to have a different rubberized base, which is going to make it a lot nicer to hold. And it was already nice to hold, but now you have that textured base that's going to be sort of... It's not rubber. Oh, shoot, what is it called again? But you've seen it on some of the really nice controllers, the boutique controllers, where they have that grippy base. You know, that feels really, really nice. So,
you know, speaking of Microsoft, my computer that I had on Windows 7 got forcefully upgraded to Windows 10, and I know.
Now, here's the thing: Microsoft announced today that they were not going to reach the billion user for Windows 10 in time. So I'm wondering if this is get on Windows 10 now. But here's the thing: you're getting it for free, so there you go. I'm going to say this one thing about Windows 10: it is really, really good, and I like it as much as I liked Windows 7. It's good. It's not bad at all. The only thing I don't like is having to log in to use my computer, which that I don't like.
You should always have password protector stuff.
Yeah, but if I'm not online, I should be able to log into my computer. Or maybe I don't know.
You can log in.
I wasn't able to before. I don't know what was going on there. Yeah, anyways, so, TJ, if you were going to get an Xbox One, would you get the Xbox One S, or would you wait for Project Scorpio?
I'm going to wait on Scorpio if I'm going to do it, because, I mean, it's like you said, that is a new console. That is a new console price, and why?
And you get 4K, 4K gaming. You know, it's the future.
Yeah, I'd rather either buy a Wii, the Gen X, or the PlayStation 4.5, and just stay on PC in general, because Xbox just doesn't have anything that isn't already going to be on another console or.
Well, that's the same thing with the PlayStation 4.5. They're doing the forwards compatibility thing as well, so it's not anything different. I mean, here's the thing. I'll tell you this:
I'm probably not going to get it unless there's something amazing that on the PlayStation 4.5.
Skyrim 4K remastered, $60.
There's the Uncharted series that I like. That's on there.
I can't stand the Uncharted series.
That I want to play. That's also on there.
Oh God, I can't stand Uncharted.
So they have some games, but like I want to play I Am Setsuna, but that's on PC, and I may just get it on PC.
You know, of all the games that Microsoft showed off at E3 this past year, the one that everybody's talking about is We Happy Few. And that's not something that pushes the tech. You know?
I'll say this, because it's the reason I picked up a PS4 in the first place, because I've already mentioned it once tonight. Guilty Gear is on PS4, and it's not on Xbox.
Well, it's on PC, though, so...
And also, well,
that's the thing about outing a PlayStation and an Xbox One. All the games that aren't first party, you can always say, well, it's going to be on Steam anyway.
Revelator isn't on PC, and it's probably not coming to PC anytime soon. See,
I don't care. See, that's the problem. I mean, I'm talking about, like, if you really want to play Inside, but you don't own an Xbox One, hey, guess what? It's on Steam. It just was released a couple of days ago.
Uh-huh.
You know? And like I said, that's a game I really want to check out. It looks really nice.
And the more I see of that Zelda Breath of the Wild...
Breath of Wild.
I feel actually like getting it on the NX... And getting an NX game.
Well, here's the thing. There was no appreciable difference between Twilight Princess on the Wii and the Wii. I'm sorry, on the GameCube and the Wii. Just so you know.
I don't have an NX or a Wii U, so I might as well wait for the.
Well, here's
NX.
The question: are you going to just? Well, here's the problem. Here's the question with the NX: is it going to have Wii U backwards compatibility? Because Nintendo has always had backwards compatibility. You know, Wii U can play Wii games. Wii can play GameCube games. You can't do that with the GameCube and the Nintendo Super. But I'm just saying that, you know, they had perfect...
N64 cartridge into your GameCube.
Yeah, you can't do that. But
or an N64 cartridge in your Nintendo Super NES.
But you could play Game Boy games on your Game Boy Color. You can play Game Boy Color games on your Game Boy Advance. You can play Game Boy Advance games on your DS.
Yep.
So, you know, I wonder...
didn't have a cutoff. You can't play... original Game Boy games on the 3DS.
Well, you couldn't play Game Boy Color games on your DS either, so... But I'm just saying, you know, at least with the previous, they've had a habit of making backwards compatibility.
Right.
So I'm wondering if NX is going to have backwards compatibility with a Wii U. That's the question.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think we could do that. I don't really see the problem with it. And it's funny because I was looking on the PlayStation Store recently, and I was seeing an awful lot of PS2 games on there that... I mean, it's digital, but it's on there.
You also have to buy them again.
You know, whereas before there was none, and now all of a sudden there's a bunch.
Well, you also have to buy them again, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, you do have to buy them again, but they're
still... I'm still waiting for backwards compatibility on Mass Effect 2 and 3, damn it. That's what I'm waiting for. And there are a lot of surprising games that are coming up as backwards compatible, too, that I said, what? A lot of indie people... See, here's the thing, a lot of... The indie people know this more than the major publications. If you have... If your game is backwards compatible, people who didn't buy it on the previous system are going to buy it. You know, and that's what 2K is learning right now with Red Dead Redemption. You know, hey, what? People are buying this old game? Really? It's like they're shocked that people want to play Red Dead Redemption, even though it's last generation, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yes, of course people are going to buy it. I mean, after when... After people played, a few people played Assassin's Creed, right? And then they bought it cheap. They bought the shit out of Assassin's Creed 2 after it went down in price. You know? I mean, old games are advertisements for new games. And everybody's really getting hyped up over Red Dead Redemption 2. I mean, we're waiting for the announcement. And I don't... It's like... Rockstar is teasing us. We already saw the map that's going to be used for Red Dead Redemption 2. Right? Just announce the thing. I mean, I know there's a timing with publicity and when what's the right time to maximize the hype, because if you announce it too early, people get bored with it.
The right time is not when people are getting shot and it's making the news on a regular basis.
No, well, Red Dead Redemption takes place in the Old West. Oh, or does it? Or does it? Who knows? Maybe it takes place in modern times. I mean, didn't they do that with... Oh, damn it. What was the name of that game? They had a Western game that, what's it called, went into modern times with Mexican drug cartels. I forgot the name of it. Can you imagine John Marston's offspring being, what's it called, being hired by the government to fight Mexican drug cartels? It's possible. You know.
That was what they did with Call of Juarez.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, Call of Juarez is the game that I'm thinking of that went forward in time, you know, to present day, which wasn't so bad, actually. I think it got some good reviews. Anyways, you know what I'd like to play? Red Dead Revolver.
Red Dead Revolver is a backwards compatible game?
No, but I'd like to play it again. I think it's on PC. I mean, I never played it. See, that's the thing. I know it's a shooter. It's a traditional shooter. But it's set in the same universe as Red Dead Redemption. Red Dead Redemption is a sequel to a game that almost no one played.
If it is, it's in like a Grand Theft Auto vein, like where it exists in the same world, but it's not anywhere near the same story.
No, actually, you have characters in Red Dead Redemption referring to events that happened in Red Dead Revolver. As a matter of fact, I think you people would never know this because they didn't play it, but you was it at some point you'd actually meet characters from that game. But you wouldn't know it because no one played it. It's sort of like in Mafia 2, if you remember, you at one point, it's a very short mission, you go on this mission to hit somebody in their suburban home, and the thing is, that's how Mafia 1 ended with that character. These two hitmen came up and shot him on his doorstep. And then in Mafia 2, you actually play the Mafia hitman who shoot him on his doorstep. Except it's sort of like, but for me, it was Tuesday moment because it's just a short mission that you do, and there's almost nothing to it. Just a little nod to the first Mafia. Mafia 3, it looks like it's going to be amazing in terms of gameplay, but the characters are so unlikable to me.
I haven't seen much on Mafia 3 yet.
Oh, Mafia, yeah, just, I'm pretty sure the E3 video is up now. of the gameplay video. It looks like it's going to be really, really solid. It has the same... it's actually taking a lot from Saints Row, in which you have to do all these missions to get the attention of a boss in a section of town, and then you defeat that boss to claim that section of town. But then you also have you have three lieutenants, and you give that section of town for one of your three lieutenants to run, right? And you can actually piss off a lieutenant so much that they attack you, and you have to kill them.
Mm.
And they're major characters, too. So you're actually offing a major character in the game. So, yeah, check out the E3 video for Mafia 3, which is why I was so impressed with it. But the characters are such shitheads that I don't know if I... See, that's the problem with some games, is that I don't like the character. You know? Grand Theft Auto 3, I did not like Mr. Vecetti. Was it Tommy or Timmy? Tommy, right?
Tommy Ricchetti.
Right. I hated him, which is why I couldn't complete the game, because I hated his guts. You know? I didn't really like, I forgot the Eastern European guy in Grand Theft Auto 4 as well. Which is why I didn't get Grand Theft Auto 5, because I didn't think I was going to like the characters from that either. You know? So there's that. We're running way over time now, so we're going to go to listener feedback from Donovan. I read that Russia will ban Pokemon Go. Well, you know, Russia's going to be banned from the Olympics very soon. Yeah, they cheated their asses off for the past couple of years, which doesn't surprise me with Mr. Putin. From Jerry K, can't wait for Civ 6. I would love to win that bundle that includes the Civ 6 pen. Yeah, we talked about that Civ 6 pen last week, you know, and Scott loves it. I like it, too. It's a nice... one thing I noticed about the pen when I looked at it, it has those rubber grips near the base.
Yeah, that is nice.
Yeah, really high quality. Which is why I was able to snag four of them from the first showing. By the way, I talked about this on the Polycast. I might as well splooge Dan Quick's Polycast. That I went to the first thing I did at E3 was I went to the Civ 6 thing, right? And all they did was show a 12-minute video, and then that 12-minute video was released 2 weeks later on YouTube. And my thoughts are, why the fuck did I do it? Why the fuck did I go watch it if all you're going to do is show a video, a non-interactive video, which you don't explain the gameplay mechanics outright? You basically infer them, you know. At least when I, last 2 years ago, when I was looking at Civilization Beyond Earth, Dennis Shirk came out and told us about everything that was going on with the game. You know, he showed us what happens, how the tech works, how the units work, and all that stuff. Here, 12-minute video, we don't care. And you knew that they made that 12-minute video months ago, because after they showed that, all these little mini videos are coming out, you know, which could have just been shown alongside that video. They're the same, you know, non-interactive videos, you know? I mean, don't get me wrong, Civ 6, well, it looks good. A lot of the mechanics are iffy, and I have to see how they work. Like the builders instead of workers, you know, with the three-shot, and I think we discussed this last week. And it's coming out in August, so that game is basically done. You know? The game was done when they showed it at E3.
Yeah, they're just doing bug testing, hopefully, and balance.
Yeah, not even gameplay balance. And here's the problem with Civ, and you know this, Scott. Is it going to take two expansions for it to be finished?
I hope not. I mean, you know? From the sound of it, we're getting espionage and religion from the get-go, which is unlike what happened in Civ 5.
But I'm just saying... Just to fix the mechanics of the game to make it interesting, and they never were able to make Civilization Beyond Earth interesting to me.
Well, Beyond Earth, that was a different development team. So we got two different development teams, so there's no point in...
Is that the excuse this time?
Things.
Is that the excuse?
I mean, in fact, you know, Civ 5 is being developed by the people that did the expansions.
In a way,
I think, yeah, this game is going to be as good... as Civ 5 was with the expansions. They're moving ahead. They're taking all the stuff that they learned from Civ 5 and making Civ 6.
And they're also using a lot of stuff from Beyond Earth as well.
Civ 5.
They're also
we had a completely different team trying to change the wheel, and unfortunately it did it took a couple expansions to make it better, and I know Civ 4 had its issues as well.
Civ 4 was good in the, from the get-go, though, for the most part. You know?
Yeah, it was. I thought so.
I mean, it just got better. You know, it was Civ 4 was merely a good game. Civ 5 was a interesting broken game when it was first released.
Yeah, and I think it was it John Schaefer?
What?
Left, and then Ed Beach took over, and okay. He started doing the expansions.
He tossed out entire sections of the game, too, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, so it's like, I really think that we should give a little bit of credit to Ed Beach and see, you know, if he can, you know, I mean, that's what it has implied.
But here's the thing, is that a lot of these Civilization games, you know, they feel like they're setting out the beta version for players to test en masse.
Yeah. I've seen those comments as well, and
we'll see.
So you can do it that way, and I think again, I'm hoping that Ed Beach is taking his experience and all his knowledge from Civ 5 and going to Civ 6 and building on that experience and actually evolving the next step of the game without dropping the ability of making a good balanced game.
TJ is snoozing right now.
No, I like the Civ games, but I don't know nearly enough about Civ 6 to know whether I would like it or not.
You know, on the Turncast, it's they were talking about, you know, well, you know, when we're doing, what's it called, godlike mode or whatever, what are the highest modes in...
Deity
and all that stuff, and it's like, I can barely do Prince. You're making me feel inadequate.
Actually, we only did Emperor. We don't do D&D in Turncast.
I'm just saying, Emperor. Okay, fine. I can barely deal with Prince. You know, there's fans of the game, and then there's the Street Fighter hardcore fan version of Civ, you know.
Well, that's where we say put on your try-hard pants.
Anyway, so we have two entries into the swag contest. And I flipped the coin. And Jerry K is the winner. Sorry, Donovan. So look for our show notes at GamingPodcast.net, along with industry news and our gaming history articles. Enjoy your feedback. So leave us comments at our blog at GamingPodcast.net. Also, hit us up at Facebook.com/GamingPodcast or the forums at GamingPodcast.net/forum. Or send your comments to fans at GamingPodcast.net. Most importantly, subscribe to us on iTunes and leave some iTunes comments. I am at Jonah Falcon on Twitter. TJ Jenzer is... Not Chuff Money, that's Anthony Gallegos. Johnny Chugs. He's Johnny Chugs on Twitter. That's TJ. And Scott is Alpha Shard. Although, from what I understand, you don't really check Twitter that much, do you, Scott?
I have been doing it more lately.
Okay. So he's at Alpha Shard. So yeah. Like I said, I'm still on the fence of the Xbox One. I'm gonna have to see what the deals are for trading in. The funny thing is that there's nothing on my Xbox One that actually says it's a Day One edition. The only place that you'd find that is on the controller. So it's not like I'm giving up something that has a brand on it that says Day One edition. Because basically when you got the Day One edition of the Xbox One, you got a special achievement. So that's how you know that I was there from Day One. Also, 14 years of Xbox Live. Now, I know that's not the very, very beginning, you know, but still, 14 years of Xbox Live, that's a long time. It's a lot of money, too. Anyways, we will see you next week.
Happy gaming, everyone.
Take it easy.